Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We've been sharing with you on the subject of understanding the blood of Jesus. And we've talked about the blood of Jesus in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we've seen that the blood is a living thing, that it has a voice, it speaks even after death. We understand that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And when a covenant is made with God, it's entered into by the shedding of blood. We also saw the fact that blood was shown to signify judgment. And the turning of all the waters into blood signified judgment on Pharaoh and those in Egypt. This was pointing towards the judgment that was come upon Satan and those under his control. Also, judgment came through the blood of Jesus being shed. The blood also is that which protected the Israelites from God's judgment upon Pharaoh in Egypt. They were passed over and not judged when God saw the blood on the doorposts of the houses. This points to Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, going to the cross to redeem mankind and cleanse him from his sins by his blood, so that those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will not be judged by God with those in the world who reject Jesus as Lord and Savior. We also saw the fact that the blood was sprinkled upon the people as they heard the Word of God and after they committed to do the Word of God. They were going to be obedient to all that God had commanded them to do. Also, we saw the blood covered over the sins of the Israelites under the Old Covenant. It was put upon the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies once a year by the high priest as an atonement or a covering over for sin. It was also applied to Aaron and his sons' members for cleansing in the ordination of the priesthood. The blood was applied to the people's members for cleansing in the trespass offering. We talked about the two birds that were alive and then clean that revealed Jesus, the slain bird, shedding his blood on the cross, and then Jesus, the resurrected bird, carrying it up to heaven to appear before God as the better sacrifice once and for all to accomplish redemption. We also saw that his blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat eastward by the high priest as one of the goats for the sin offering, and Jesus fulfilled the old covenant when he was offered up by the high priest as the final sacrifice of the old covenant. His side was pierced by the soldier at his death on the cross. The blood and the water came out, ran down through the crack in the rocks due to the earthquake onto the westward side of the mercy seat that was hidden in Jeremiah's grotto underneath the area where he was crucified. The red heifer slain outside the camp for the purification of sin and signified the work of Jesus, the Lamb of God, in taking away the sin of the world. It also represented the scarlet thread, which protected Rahab and her house from destruction when the Israelites came to take the land that God had given unto them. Then we looked at the New Testament scriptures. In the New Testament scriptures, we saw the fact that Jesus taught that his blood would be shed for the remission of sins, and that his blood would bring forth a new covenant. His precious blood was the ransom price that was paid to accomplish eternal redemption. Now, through his blood, of course, we have relationship in the new covenant when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, we've been purchased back and rescued from spiritual death through the new birth. The point we need to realize is we're not our own. We've all been bought with a price, with the ransom price of the blood of Jesus. Now, we talked about in the New Testament his blood brought us reconciliation, righteousness, sanctification, peace, eternal life with God. It also provided us a means to dwell in God, to have boldness to enter in the presence of God, to serve Him because of the purging of our conscience from dead works, and to have continual fellowship with the Lord. Through the blood of the new covenant, God makes us perfect through His Word to do His will. And we have faith in His blood when we believe and know what He's done for us. We also have faith in His blood when we realize what it continually does for us daily as we walk with God according to His Word. Now, the blood is applied in our life by Jesus from the mercy seat in heaven. If we sin, what do? We're supposed to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. The blood also is applied when we walk in the light of the Word of God so that we have fellowship with Him, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually keeps us cleansed of all sin. Now, when we confess our sins and or walk in the light of the Word, His blood is automatically applied to us, and it's applied by Jesus. Also, when we're accused of sin by Satan, Jesus, He's our heavenly attorney, He defends us, He pleads our case before the Father, who's the heavenly judge, and we overcome Satan's accusations against us because of the blood which has been applied to us when we confessed our sins and or are walking in the light of the Word of God. We also overcome Satan's accusations because of the word of our testimony, which shows forth that we've confessed our sins and that we do walk continually in the Word of God. And we see the fact that we're not guilty because of the blood of the Lamb, which has been applied to us by Jesus, because of the word of our testimony. We've confessed our sins. We've walked in the light of the Word of God. We maintain fellowship with the Lord. Now, today, we're going to talk about a controversial area, I suppose, most people would think, about unscriptural traditions about the blood of Jesus. In light of all that we have shared, if you've heard these broadcasts, we're going to be addressing something which is going to probably be hard for you to receive if you've been taught by most of what's been taught out there in the body of Christ. But we must examine questions, statements, and practices concerning the blood of Jesus among Christians to find out if they are the truth. We're going to examine them one by one and look at them in the light of the Word of God, find out if they're true or false. And if they're true, they'll, of course, be in line with the Word of God. If they're false, they're error, and they're traditions of men, if you agree on that, which is what I've learned from the Word of God. If it's not in the Word, we know it's error, and it's a tradition of men. So as we look at each one of these, I encourage you to not be following your past beliefs, teachings, practices, experiences, all these things, or what so-and-so says. You've got to be looking at things in line with the Word of God. All conclusions on anything must be made in the light of the Word of God. Remember, the Word of God's the truth. And any doctrine, belief, or teaching contrary to the Word is false. The unscriptural traditions that we're going to talk about involve the use of the blood of Jesus in warfare and in the pleading of the blood and the covering of people or possessions. And you're going to find out that these are unscriptural traditions, even though this is practiced in the body of Christ. The first point we want to make out and the question we want to answer is, first of all, is the blood of Jesus an offensive weapon used against the devil? The answer is no. Are there any scriptures in the Word of God where the blood of Jesus was used as an offensive weapon against the devil or demons? No. Have we seen any scripture using the blood of Jesus as an offensive weapon at all? No. Was the blood ever used in the book of Acts as a weapon by the church against the devil? The answer again is no. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18 says about putting on the whole armor of God in order to be able to successfully stand against the enemy. If you examine the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, is there any place where the blood is listed? No. The parts of the armor listed in verse 14 to 17, each part involves the Word of God and the life of the believer. Is the blood mentioned anywhere in the armor? No, it's not a part of our warfare against the enemy. Offensively, we fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word. Our mouth is what we war with. Now, one minister stated that the blood of Jesus is a major weapon against the devil. Well, if that's true, where is the blood used as a weapon in the Word of God? Give me chapter and verse. If it really was a major weapon, we surely would see it used by the church continually, especially in the book of Acts. However, it was never used as a weapon in Acts and anywhere in the Bible. So the blood of Jesus is not an offensive weapon that you use against the devil. Second question, is the blood of Jesus a defensive weapon which we use against the devil? The answer again is no. As we looked at the armor of God, we marked that the blood of Jesus was not mentioned as part of the armor of God. Now, what part of the armor is especially designed to defend us? Remember, it's the shield of faith which will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the believer is supposed to actively hold up the shield of faith as a defensive weapon against the attacks by the devil. Well, how do you hold up the shield of faith to defend ourselves against the attacks of the enemy? It's by speaking the Word of God, declaring, "It is written," to extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. Is the blood of Jesus used anywhere in the book of Acts by the believer to defend himself from an attack of the enemy? No. Is the blood used anywhere in the Bible by a believer in Christ as a defensive weapon against Satan? The answer again is no. The blood of Jesus has to do with our relationship to God and our fellowship with Him. If we sin, we're out of fellowship with God. We open the door for evil spirits to affect our life. We'll not be able to stop them because they have a spiritual legal right of entrance. Why? Because of having given place to the devil through sin. Now, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness by washing our sins away in His blood. And as we stay in fellowship with God, by walking in the light of the Word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us continually from sin. In each case, you know, whether we confess our sins or walk in the light of the Word of God, who's the one who applies the blood? Jesus applies the blood to us. because the blood's applied to us by Jesus, we're in right fellowship with God, and we can overcome his accusations, as we pointed out in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. We can overcome the accusations of the devil that he's trying to find some spiritual legal right to be able to bring some destruction against your life. So the blood of Jesus applied to us by Jesus is our defense against Satan's accusations because we're in right fellowship with him. So who does the applying? Jesus does. Does the believer do anything with it? No. The believer himself does not do anything with the blood as either an offensive weapon or a defensive weapon. The believer uses the word of God as his defensive weapon, and he uses his mouth speaking in line with the word of God as an offensive weapon, and also speaking in the name of Jesus, which is the power of attorney and the authority given to us to take dominion over the enemy. Here's another point. A statement's been made by ministers declaring that we need to remind Satan about the blood. Do we ever need to remind Satan about the blood? The answer is no again. Was it ever done in the word of God? Nope. Are we ever told in the Bible to remind Satan about the blood? No. Well, where do these ministers get these statements? They get them from the traditions of men and not from the Word of God. It's a false tradition of men. Here's another statement. No wise Christian would ever dare to cast out demons without faith in the blood of Jesus, never without conscious pleading of the blood. In other words, this person believes that one needs to have faith in the blood of Jesus to cast them out, and that they must first plead the blood for protection before proceeding to cast the demons out. Is there any scripture to prove this statement in the Word of God? The answer again is no. How do we cast out demons according to the Word of God? In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and also in Acts 16, 18, talks about how they cast out demons in the name of Jesus. Mark 16, 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Acts 16, 18. Here's where Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, the Bible declares that Jesus cast out the demons by the Spirit of God. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. In the Word of God, nobody ever cast out demons with the blood of Jesus. Nobody ever pleaded the blood for protection before they cast out demons. And I've personally cast out demons in over 14,000 hours of ministry in the last 21 years. I've never used the blood to cast them out or pleaded the blood for protection ever. I've never had any problem successfully casting them out or being protected while I was casting them out. The main thing, of course, you've got to be in fellowship with God and not have sin in your life and walking right with Him. To be protected so that there's no open door for the evil spirits to come in. The key is to have dealt with sin and walking in light of the Word of God. The blood of Jesus now is applied by Jesus to continually keep us in right fellowship with Him and be cleansed. But the believer himself does not do anything with the blood. There's no scripture in the Bible that ever shows the believer doing something with the blood himself. Well, we're out of time for today. We're going to continue on this subject in the next broadcast. As I close the program today, I want to make available the book that I have on this subject, entitled Understanding the Blood of Jesus. It's available for $6, postage paid. If you would like to get it, please call me at 602-279-5212. Again, my book called Understanding the Blood of Jesus, available for $6, postage paid. If you'd like to get it, please call 602-279-5212. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.